We're glad to have Brother Danny Jones with us tonight. How many of you don't know Brother Danny Jones? Raise your hand. You've not met him or heard him. Brother Peoples, keep your hand down. Brother Jones is a veteran missionary. He followed his daddy, second generation missionary. Fantastic job, many churches, and one of the main mother churches, we could call it, there in Monterey. They get up to about 450 and then start another church, and then get up to about 450 or 400 and start another church. But now, because of the situation there in Mexico, they've come out to start a work down in South Texas. So you come on, Brother Jones. He's out of this church, and one of our member missionaries, we love and appreciate he and Michelle so much. So he's going to preach for us tonight. Give us a little report, if you would, too, if you'd take time to do that.
Dr. Weaver. First of all, it's a joy to be home. I enjoy it when people come up and say, hey, welcome home, and I'm so glad to be home. Although what brings me home is a great occasion. As all of you know, my dad's been very sick, and the last 2 days we have seen some improvement. He's going to be moved, or in fact, he's supposed to be moved already to the Harrison on Heritage Parkway, and so pray for him there, and pray that he'll go through the rehab, because it is hard and it is very painful. But Dad sometimes is a stubborn Baptist, you know, and it's hard to get an independent Baptist to change his way sometimes. So pray for him. And today he started back with his little smirk. If you know him, he has that little smirk on his face when he's about to say something that's funny, and then says it. And my sister and I arrived there yesterday morning, and he said, well, it's about time y'all made it here. So we knew he was feeling a little bit better. So do pray for him. He's had a lot of pain with his feet. And besides, on one leg, he has neuropathy, and on the other one, has that cellulitis or something like that. So do pray for him. And he sends his greetings, and he said, make sure you tell everybody at Worth hi for me. So everybody, hi for my dad, okay? And I praise the Lord for him. And then do pray for my sister Deborah, who's going to be the main caretaker for him, that she will have wisdom, and that God will guide in everything in this situation. Brother Chan, nice to see you again. I remember you from Llano, Texas. You just came from there. Okay. Did you bring me some barbecue?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I sure enjoyed Brother Murdoch's presentation today, and I hope that we'll continue supporting him. Mexico is doing a great job sending out missionaries around the world. I hope that soon you will meet a young man from our church in Mexico. His name is Joel Sanchez. He will be going to Japan. He already knows Japanese. He's had 3 years in Japanese, and I think that he will be a blessing. And he is in Panama right now, raising support from one of my adopted sons is preaching, pastoring there, and started 3 churches there, and he's raising support there. So pray for Joel Sanchez and the nationals that are going out reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ that I know of. Just our church in Mexico supports about 25 Mexicans in different countries of the world. And they're the home church of 6 of those Mexicans. So we praise the Lord for that. If you'll open your Bibles in 2 Kings chapter 4, and I feel like I hope that I can encourage you about missions. I did know about the Mount of Iron conference, but I thought it was this week, and it's next week. I got the dates confused, but someone asked me if I was up here for that, and I told them, desgraciadamente, no. How do you say that? Unfortunately, no. Thank you. I've got several translators here. My wife couldn't make it with me. She didn't want to drive straight through Sunday night to get here Monday morning. So, I feel like I'm sort of like the guinea pig for the conference. You know, if I do a bad job, you come to the conference, you'll have greater preaching. You know, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1-7. Amen. If you have your passage, let's stand in honor of God's Word. I want to share something with you tonight. It's what I call misery and missions. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1-7 reads like this. Now there cried a certain woman from the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad from all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, and thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went forth, she went from him, and shut the door, and upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the privilege it is to preach your word. And Lord, as we consider this passage of Scripture, help us to understand that you are a great God, that you do supply great needs, that we would trust you like this woman trusted the prophet and did what he said and was able to see a great need supplied. And then, Lord, I pray that there's someone here that has a special need. You know that situation. Lord, I pray that you'd take my lips and that we would be a blessing, that your word would touch hearts, that we would leave this place different than whence we came in. Which in Christ's name we pray, and we ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So many needs in life. As I visited with Dad, I was thinking, wow, what a need. And yet, if the Lord tarries is coming and He gives us long life, we're all going to go through that need. And I was telling Stephanie before services, I probably won't make it. I'll die in an accident. But the rest of it, you might make it. But the thing is, folks, is that we have needs personally, we have needs, physical needs, we have spiritual needs, we have monetary needs. Churches have needs, ministers have needs, this society has a great need. And the question is often asked, if God is the owner of everything, why is there so much need? And I think this passage of Scripture answers that question and gives us a little hint of what it is to give to missions. As I've seen in the mission field, and as I've seen around the world, really, I have seen that God often calls us to give something when we're in our greatest need. Have you ever wondered about that? But God does do that. And I want you to notice three things about this woman. First of all, I want you to notice the demand of this woman. There cried a certain woman, verse 1, of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take him, my two sons, to be bondmen. You see, her fountain of provision had been taken away. She depended on her husband, and now he was dead. He was gone. You see, folks, many times we will not see a need until the most important thing or person is taken away from us. And that's when we realize we've got a need. She was thrown on the true fountain of supply for her needs, and it wasn't her husband, it was God. You see, a lot of times we think, what will I do without my dad or without my mom or without my son or without my wife or without my daughter? I was telling some couples and to write something amorous, loving towards their wife or spouse. And one of them wrote, in one of our classes in the Bible Institute, and one of them wrote, I cannot live without you. And I said, yes, you can. You might think that's a loving thing to say, but what you're really saying is, God, if you take her, I will quit breathing. And that is not true. God will give grace when that time comes. I've seen that He doesn't give grace before time either. He gives it just on time. But you can exist and you can keep on going and you can live without such and such a thing or such and such a person. And I said, really what you should say is, I love you and life is so much better with you. And I'd like to live it the rest of my life with you. But our likes aren't always come to fruition, does it? So, you see, we have problems at times because we do not recognize that God is the provider of all things. You see, in 1 Chronicles 29:14, Solomon said, For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Really, today, as you gave the offering, you gave of what God gave you. You did not give anything that you did yourself. God gave you that. And unless we recognize that in our lives, we're not going to recognize who's the real supplier of our needs. We have to recognize that God is the one who provides us everything. And God had put this woman in a situation so that she would look towards Him instead of her husband. Acts chapter 17 says in verse 25, Seeing He giveth life, He giveth to all life and breath and all things. God gives us everything. Did you know that you cannot hold on to anything in this life? You can't hold on to money. You know, someone said money talks. Yeah, it does. It's always saying bye-bye to me. You know, money does talk. It's always waving bye-bye, you know. But you see, you try to hold on to money. And you can build up a great account, and then tomorrow the stock market might go down. And you have nothing. You say, well, I've got good health. You cannot walk out of here saying, I'm going to always have good health. We've all heard of people that have been given a clean bill of health and walk out of the doctor's office and die of a heart attack. You never know what you have that will be taken away from you. We cannot hold on to our own life. We cannot hold on to our family. We cannot hold on to health. We cannot hold on to riches. Folks, that's when we have to realize that God is the supplier of everything. And see, God was acting on her behalf, although she did not know it. God took her husband, and she is left without her husband, and now people would say, well, what a tragedy with such a debt, and now the boys are going to go into slavery. The Bible says again in the book of Acts, chapter 17, but verse 26, he says, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they may seek the Lord. When I go to someone's house and they tell me a tragedy, and why? Why did God do this? I always use this verse of Scripture because God is the one that puts boundaries in our life. And you're not going to pass those boundaries. He puts a limit to our life. And when we hit a boundary that we cannot pass, that humanly speaking, this is impossible, that's when we look up to God. Because when everything's going great for our lives, a lot of times we forget about God. Everything's going so good, we forget about reading the Bible, about praying, about witnessing, about serving God, because everything's going great. I believe sometimes God has to give us boundaries. God has to get us to a point where our nose is up against the wall and there's nowhere to move except God. This woman had come to that boundary. God had permitted her to suffer. The disciples asked Jesus Christ one time, why was he born blind? And Jesus said, so that the works of God could be made manifest in him. Sometimes God gives us problems just so that he can get the glory out of all of it. Time after time I see this in the Bible. God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. And there's no way the Israelites could say, we provided for ourselves. They couldn't say that. God provided water. God provided manna. God provided los codornices. I don't know how that's translated in English. Meat. God provides when we really trust in Him. Her demand brought her to the prophet of God. And God's prophet is telling her what to do. Look in verse 2. He says to her, what shall I do for thee? He wanted to know if she really knew her own need. And folks, before God can really help us, we've got to realize our own need. And the greatest need that man has on earth, it's not a need of food and not a need of clothing and not a need of housing. It's the need of salvation. And that is the greatest need that man has today. So this is a woman that is demanding something. She wants an answer. And I'm glad that God does supply our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, He will supply our needs according to His riches in glory. I want you to notice, secondly, the desperate situation of this woman. Her desperation took away the trust that she had previously for her supply. And while she trusted in someone else, she didn't need to trust in God. But now she's desperate. She cannot trust in Him because He's not around. And in that desperation, she comes to the man of God. Her desperation makes her admit her incapacity to provide for herself. Look in verse 2. It says, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Thine handmaid hath not anything. She admits, I cannot do it. You see, it's when you and I get to the point where we say, I cannot, it's when God can. As long as I say, I can, then God says, go ahead. I do not like that little bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. First place, it says He's not in first place. He should be the pilot. I should be following Him. When Jesus said, my yoke is easy, He was talking about something that we have still in a lot of Latin American countries. a yoke of oxen pulling a plow. One of those oxen will be the leader oxen. And that leader oxen will turn his head and that other oxen will just follow. Because the leader oxen is the one that guides where they're going. Well, my friend, Jesus is the leader. And if he pulls one way and you and I pull another way, we're going to have problems. And this woman has come to find out in her desperation that she cannot, and only God can. Look at verse 3. Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Only by faith can we do great things for God. You see, the unsaved person will not understand this. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that he cannot understand the spiritual things. And spiritual things are not only coming to church. You did a spiritual thing just a while ago when you gave something in the offering. That is spiritual too. It's spiritual to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's spiritual to read the Bible. It's spiritual to pray. It's spiritual to be honest on the job site. It's just spiritual to be a Christian. You don't have to be sanctimonious to be spiritual, but to be spiritual, you've got to be Christ-like. And see, unsaved people do not understand this. And you see, giving to missions is a lot like that. I want to show you a verse of Scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I believe I've used it here before, 11:6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I say that so I can find it. Ecclesiastes 11:6 reads, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." You see, we give not knowing what the results will be. My dad, in 1957, went to Mexico. He was on deputation in 1955, went to language school in 1956, went to Mexico in 1957. I was born when he was on deputation. And Dad never realized what he was starting. But now there's hundreds of churches. Someone came up to me tonight and said, "Brother Jones, we've started a Spanish work here in the church and we've met people that your dad witnessed to on the field." Isn't that great? You never know what you're going to do through giving to missions, for doing what God wants you to do. It's by faith. And the prophet of God said, "Go borrow a lot of vessels. Not a few." That means a whole bunch in Texas. And she brought them. And then he said, "Now start pouring. And when one fills up, set it aside." And I imagine she said, "Well, I've got a gallon here, but I've got about 10 gallons out here." You know, "Well, I don't know." And they started filling up, kept filling up, kept filling up, kept filling up. And she filled up all of the vessels. Then she went and asked what to do next. You see, that is what not only missions is all about, that's what family is all about, is you keep doing things even though you do not see the results right now, because you know that's what's right, that's what God wants, and God will bless it. You see, God does have some rules that He goes by. And He set those rules out. Hey, one of those rules, if you destroy your body, I'll help you destroy it. That's in the Bible. You destroy the temple of God, I will destroy it, God says. Read it in 1 Corinthians. Another rule, He says, if you'll tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven. And He does bless. But you've got to step out and tithe first. And like anything we sow and reap, it takes a little time of sowing before you reap. You're reaping today what you sowed 3 months ago. So, start showing 3 months, and then 3 months down the line, you'll get it. That's why one of my favorite verses of Scripture is Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for if we shall reap if we faint not. I'm translating that. Don't faint. Don't stop just because you don't see a result today. She did not stop until all of those vessels were full. Then I want you to notice the dependency of this woman. Although the faith of this woman might have been weak, she put her faith in what the man of God told her to do and did what God told her to do, and God worked a miracle. And look at verse 5. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And I can just imagine she kept on pouring and kept on pouring and kept on pouring. The demand of this woman, she wanted God to do something in her life. And God started doing it. And why did this happen? You see, really, she established the amount of blessing that God would give her. Had she just picked up 10 bottles, that's all she would have poured out. She brought many. We do not know how many. But she brought many. You see, God always uses what you have to bless you. How many times have we ever heard, if I only had... I remember a national in Mexico said he was called to preach, and we were telling him to go and go and go, and he would always put his family as an excuse or his job as an excuse. And then finally he came out, well, Brother Jones, if I had a truck like yours, I'd serve God. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I've been without to build a building. I've sold my only car to build a building. So if you're willing to do that, you have a car, sell your car and jump in. You see my blessing now, but you didn't see the sacrifice before. And that's the problem with a lot of people. God uses what you have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says that God will only require what you have, what one has. Look at Moses. God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He said, a rod. Then later on, it was this rod. But later on, it was the rod of God. See, God takes what you have and He uses it. And this is what missions is all about. Don't ask God to give you so that you can give. Why don't you give and let God work a miracle in your life? We establish our own provision. We establish the limits of our faith. We say up to where God can bless us. I'm glad that woman got a whole bunch. Why was all this? I want you to notice verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You see, the need was met. They paid the debt. But God was glorified. Can you imagine everywhere she went? Hey, I hear that you're out of debt. And hey, I hear you've got a savings account now. And hey, I hear you're eating well now. Could she say, well, it was because I really worked? No. She had to say, oh, God provided. God provided. God always does provide. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe today you have a need. It's not a magic wand. But if you will get into what God blesses, God will bless. The trouble is, we want God's blessings first, and then we'll serve Him. And it's really the other way around. Father, I pray that You bless Worth Baptist Church. Bless the meeting this week, this coming week. That missions would go around the world because of the efforts of this great church. We pray that You'd help us to keep our eyes on You, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.